Better get a backup running back in here.
Oops.
Let me look at our practice squad. Our practice squad, Keyshawn Vaughn. It's a name to watch out for. Keyshawn Vaughn is getting a lot of buzz. It's got some wiggle. Got some wiggle to his game. Keyshawn Vaughn.
Okay.
Keep an eye out on him because I don't know if Isaac Garrido is ready for the load to be a backup running back, his shiftiness or whatnot. I've heard mixed reports about him. So, but you better get a backup for Jordan Mason. You want him carrying the ball? I mean, we didn't even want Christian McCaffrey, who was the best player on offense in all of football last year, to touch the ball all the time. Jordan Mason, he said it after week one. I don't know how McCaffrey does this. This is tough. He's already had 48 carries through two games. Better go get another backup running back. Better go do that.
Well, they need to get right, and they got to win this one. I've been thinking about it long and hard. And it's only week two. This game's huge. You can't lose to the Rams and give them life. They're missing a million people. You're missing a lot of people, but you have enough parts to be able to move the ball on offense. And defensively, like, you got to get going here. And if you look at the back end of the schedule after week five, like, it's really hard.
Yep.
Arizona gives you fits. The Chiefs are very difficult, clearly. Look at who you're playing.
Real quick, because I'm a sicko. And during the break, I was looking at K-State, Michael Bishop. So in 97, they finished number three in the country. They lost to Nebraska that year by 30, but they only lost one game, won the Fiesta Bowl. The next year, they were number two in the country, playing in the Big 12 championship game. Lost to Texas A&M, not Texas. It was Texas A&M, 36-33, and derailed their season. Michael Bishop was a cool guy. Just K-State knowledge here. When you talk about bishops. I'm a sicko like that. I was watching those games. Those games were fun. This guy was good. I was rooting against K-State because I didn't like Kansas or Kansas State. I didn't like their purple, but, you know, it is what it is. That's my K-State talk. Watch out for them in Provo. Matt Lively, River Islands. You don't like that, I was asking. Come on, man. That's good knowledge. Michael Bishop, who pulls that? What radio host knows who Michael Bishop is?
I don't know if it's good knowledge.
Yeah,
it is certainly knowledge.
It is very good. Michael Bishop was a bad, bad man. Matt Lively, he's a bad man on KPIX.
You saved the show.
Join us on River Islands Guest Line. This show's been a wreck. All guests on 95.7 The Game. Every show's a wreck. 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. It is time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop. However, Matt Lively, Vertic Land, they got something cooking. They got something cooking at KPIX. My man was out in Minnesota looking dapper. Matt, what's happening? Good morning.
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me on. Thanks for the compliment. You know, you got to get a new suit jacket every once in a while.
Hey, sometimes you do. And look, you keep the weight off. I have trouble with that. So, you know, I have my suits tailored. There's no going back. I may, you know, I may be out of some money this year. Anyway, all right, you're at practice. You're seeing what's going on here. We're just talking about Jordan Mason. Let's just start there. I know it's not sexy, and we'll get to the sexy stuff with the Purdy and the Shedhead and the swords and all that jazz. But backing up Jordan Mason, because he's on pace for 408 carries, and he's been a great story to start the season. But if he goes down, who would get the call to be the backup running back, especially without Deebo Samuel?
Yeah, that's concerning, right? Isaac Garrido would be the guy you think, because they traded up. They literally traded up in the fourth round to go draft this guy. But him getting one snap last week and he gets a no gain and then he's out of the game immediately does not bode well for the confidence there and what they're seeing past Jordan Mason. They went out and they signed Patrick Taylor Jr. from the Packers, who hardly played last year. They had Matt Breida for a second in preseason and then let him go. And Keyshawn Vaughn is on the practice squad, and he's a guy that was in Tampa for a long time and really didn't do much with his opportunity. So the Niners should either be looking in a trade market or bringing back Breida or really giving some heavy snaps to Isaac Garrido here moving forward, because if something does happen to Mason, and we've seen injuries happen all over the field in the National Football League this season, Garrido better be ready to step up and go. And Kyle Shanahan doesn't like playing rookies a ton, so he's got to do something there to get Garrido into the mix more often than he's been.
How's Talanoa Hufanga look at practice yesterday?
Looked fine. He's been out on the field for a few weeks now, whether it's been off to the side or just running drills. But the fact that he is a full participant, he's ready to go. They wouldn't put him out there if that wasn't the case. And we saw what Justin Jefferson did to a couple of safeties in George Odom and Jair Brown on Sunday on that 97-yard touchdown reception. It's going to be such a boost having Hufanga back there this week, especially what a game to ease him into. You don't have Cooper Kupp or Puka Nacua out there as the Rams. This is going to be a cupcake game.
Oh, I like that, man. Hey, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Sports anchor, Channel 5, KPIX, Matt Lively. Hey, Matt, let me tell you, last week I was trying to tell Shasky it was a trap game, and he said, oh, they're going to beat Sam Darnold by 20. So you do what you do, Matt. I love the bold take. Now, Leonard Floyd was invisible in this game. Early downs, I'm Gross Matos maybe on early downs here. But what happens to George Odom now that Hufanga is? Did he go straight to special teams? Will Mustafa get more runway at safety? What's going to happen there once Hufanga does get back into the mix?
I'm ready for Malik Mustafa to play more of a role. I know it was just preseason, but God, this guy delivers a boom when he's out there. This is a captain in college at Wake Forest. This is a guy that's ready to step in and go. We saw them throw Jair Brown in last year. And he played well with the opportunity. Sure, there were some rookie mistakes, and it felt like a rookie mistake on Sunday on that Jefferson play, but Malik Mustafa's probably ready. Odom's still, you know, ahead of him on the pecking order, but someone probably gets a special teams call. Maybe it's Malik. Maybe they move George over, but all I know is Talanoa's coming back, so someone's getting the boot, that's for sure.
Who's returning kicks?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's Jacob Cowing still. That's what Shanahan pretty much indicated yesterday. That muff is bad, and I've seen a couple of Jacob Cowing muffs in practice, but at this point, you know, Debo's now hurt. You're not going to throw him back out there. It felt like they were drafting Isaac Garrido to maybe be set up for a return role because he is fast. I mean, he was one of the fastest guys at the combine, someone that would sort of remind you of Raheem Mostert, but they haven't really been giving him those opportunities to be back there returning. It's usually Debo and Cowing, or sometimes Kyle Juszczyk is back there on the kickoff. So on punt returns, I would still expect Jacob Cowing to be the guy to go to.
Matt, there's been a lot of talk about Brandon Ayuk, and we're going to magnify every pass thrown his way, targets, drops, catches, does not matter. And it's not the Shanahan way to maybe force feed a wide receiver. I would think this week you want to get him 10 targets here. What is the conversation around Brandon Ayuk? What are you seeing at practice here? Do you believe this could be the coming out party for Brandon Ayuk in 2024?
You hope so. I asked Brandon after the game on Sunday, you know, the production isn't where you would probably want it. And he kind of downplayed that. He didn't think that was all that true and that the numbers aren't speaking for where he's actually at on the field. We've seen the separation numbers in the advanced metrics, and the Niners rank in the bottom half of the league and where their wide receivers are getting separation, which is making it tougher for Brock Purdy. But all I'll say is this: if you just got paid $120 million and you sat out the entire preseason, all of training camp, and now Debo Samuel is hurt and Christian McCaffrey is hurt, it better be your coming out party. Because after Brandon, you've got Juwan Jennings, who is great. You still have George Kittle. It's not like this offense is lacking weapons, but Ricky Pearsall isn't ready to go. Jacob Cowing might have to take more of a role. You might see Chris Conley out there more, but those aren't the sexy names that you want when you're thinking of the 49ers. It is Brandon Ayuk or bust this week. He's got to have a big game to get his confidence up, to get this offense back in rhythm, because through 2 weeks, at the two games I've seen, is a sloppy offense. Jordan Mason has covered a lot of that up with some really aggressive runs that pick up 10, 11 yards. But there have just been some really sloppy moments that this offense has kind of been bailed out at times. I thought Brock had to throw into tight windows last week. He's checking the ball down a lot, especially to Kyle Juszczyk, who's been involved in the passing game. Brandon Ayuk has got to open up something on the back half of the field.
Real quick, you brought up those separation numbers. Where was Brandon Ayuk at individually, or do you just have it as a team?
I just have it as a team right now from what I'm seeing. And I mean, but Brandon Ayuk, you know, last year, that was his bread and butter. He was getting open deep, and Brock was making those throws, and we have not seen a home run ball so far through two games where you're going, all right, there it is. The deep threat has been established. I just haven't seen that through 2 weeks.
What's it feel like this year versus last year, just being around the team? Because there's like an aura. Each team has a different aura every year, right? Whatever it is, there's like a vibe, if you will. If last year was one way, how is this year?
I don't think the vibe changed all that much. And it, I mean, that's not that big of a shock considering this is almost a carbon copy of the roster they had last year. I don't think much has changed. I know during preseason a lot was made of you've got Trent and you've got Brandon holding out, and that's going to impact this team and the chemistry, but that's nothing new for the Niners. It was Nick Bosa the year before that and Deebo Samuel the year before that, and they made it to an NFC championship and then a Super Bowl in those seasons. So I think the aura is just fine. There's been, you know, it's tough coming off a loss when you're in that visiting locker room and those guys want to get out of there as soon as humanly possible. The aura never feels very good in there, but we still had Mooney Ward and D'Amador Lenore joking around, and George was funny in the post game. Like, this team is fine. It was a bad loss on Sunday, but the vibe, the aura is completely okay.
Were you surprised? Because you asked the question and then you posted, but were you surprised Charvarius Ward was so candid regarding wanting to mirror the number one wide receiver from the other team?
Surprised only because we don't get answers like that from athletes often, but it makes sense that it came from Mooney because he is kind of an open book and he'll tell it straight. But I thought his answer was perfect. I didn't understand why he wasn't shadowing Justin Jefferson this entire game. Remember that Seattle game last year where he held DK Metcalf? It's like he didn't even suit up. It was like he was invisible. And when you have a guy like Justin Jefferson and you have their number two option in Jordan Addison not playing in that game, I didn't understand why it wasn't Mooney. And then they brought over help for a double. I mean, he should be the guy that is on the top receiver every single game. He is an all-pro for a reason.
No, that's a great point. That was a great question there in the locker room. And we were surprised there. So Nick Sorensen, you know, we had this guy, you know, Eric Crocker. I'm sure you've seen him on Twitter. He covers the Niners for the Niners Lockdown podcast. And last year he came on the show and said, you know, Shanahan's really the defensive coordinator. He's the guy who wants guys to run his scheme or whatnot. So Nick Sorensen's on the sideline. And look, he's trying to do some new wrinkles. We saw Bosa drop back one time. I'm like, what are we doing? Thank God it was only once. It was probably once too many here. But how much heat do you think Sorensen, or when will the heat start to ratchet up for him? Because there was so much talk about Steve Wilks last year, Matt.
The talk on Steve Wilks last year happened really quickly. And at first it was, we don't want this guy up in the box. And then it was, you know, now he's down on the field. He still doesn't have enough energy. And it was Shanahan having to call a timeout because he didn't like what Wilks was about to call. There was a lot of tension last year. If you look at, you know, week one was great. He held Aaron Rodgers in check. Week two, had Fred Warner not come away with a couple of Superman plays, the final score of that game is probably a lot different than what it actually was. That was a much closer game than it ever should have been. And I think Fred really bailed out the defense on a couple of stops. I think if you come into this next schedule where they have the next stretch of schedule where they've got the Rams and then the Patriots and then the Cardinals, if you have three bad defensive performances, the Heat's going to get turned up. And I don't think the Niners necessarily make any sort of move, but the fans are not going to respond well.
Matt, unlike Marco Luciano, when you got called up to the morning roast, you delivered. Yeah, I mean, okay. You are on fire right now. But just as somebody who, you know, you're relatively, you know, newer to this market and you see the Niner fan fervor.
Yeah, where are you from, by the way?
Well, okay, well, ask that question. Go ahead.
My bad.
Like, Matt, like, I think the West Coast, San Francisco, oh, you guys are soft, soft Niner fans. Niner fandom is out of control. These people are insane. I mean, I'm one of them. Believe me, I'm at the forefront, losing my mind, you know, quarter to quarter, play to play, no doubt about it. Like, it's kind of underrated how crazy this roller coaster is following this particular team, right? I mean, they're out there, the Niners.
It's insane. I've tried to explain to people. I came from, to give you guys some background, covering Big 12 football. And there's a lot of hostile environments in that part of the country. When you go down to Levi's, when you're in those tailgate lots, when you're posting on social media, these fans are rabid in the best way possible. The love for this team, and rightfully so, for the run that many of these fans grew up watching with Montana and Rice and Ronnie Lott, this is a passionate fan base, and there isn't a lot of room for error, especially when they've had some of the success that they've had over the last 10 years or so. They are demanding at this point a Super Bowl. And I mean, you see it when you travel on the road. I went to LA last year for that game. Yeah. SoFi was completely red. I was in Arizona last year. I couldn't believe pregame how many fans completely covered the lower bowl.
Matt, the Cardinals don't have fans. Welcome to the NFC West. No, I know. I get what you're saying. But I guess let me ask you this one then. From the outside looking in, and you've been on this beat for a couple of years now, you're seeing this thing. What do you see that Niner fans do say about a player or a coach that you think is just wild?
I don't get the Kyle Shanahan hate. I understand he has not delivered on the Super Bowl.
Thank you.
I say this all the time. If Kyle Shanahan were to be fired tomorrow, there are 29 teams. There are 29 teams. And the only ones I'm not counting are the Chiefs, the Rams, and maybe the Ravens, who aren't calling Kyle Shanahan the second he walks out of Levi's Stadium and gets on a plane out of Santa Clara to come hire him. He is an offensive guru. He's a very good head coach, and I do not understand the hate for that man.
I mean, it's been – look, I could be critical, and I was labeled a Shanahan hater, but I've never once said that he should be fired at all. Not one time in my life.
We have a drop on the show. It's the Shanahan.
Yeah, wait, it's a Shanahan problem.
High heavens.
But I never said fire Shanahan.
But
you know, all these people that's coming around mad about his clock management week two in Minnesota, well, I could point to Atlanta a couple years ago. I could point to Arizona game at Levi's Stadium with Colt McCoy, looked like Roger Staubach. I could point to Super Bowl 54 for crying out loud.
But I never said
fire Shanahan. I don't get the hate either, man.
No, but there is a real element of the clock management stuff is a bugaboo. And from the 917, we'll always get these texts. Hey, you guys never mentioned that your boy, this is from the 917, that your boy genius, Shanahan, in the last 7 years of his playoff losses has been outscored 95-24 in the fourth quarter. That's crazy.
I just, listen. There's a reason he's probably been outscored. It's typically because his teams are up in games and they can take their foot off the pedal. I also would like to just point out, do we forget that stretch from 2000 to 2011 pre-Harbaugh where the Niners couldn't win anything? You've got a head coach that other franchises would die for. And you pair him with a GM who has put together one of the most loaded rosters year after year. I just do not understand where some of this hate comes from.
It's wild, Matt. Welcome to the Bay Area. Welcome. Where are you from, by the way? Where are you from? You said Big 12
originally. The quick breakdown. Originally from Florida. Went to school actually at Arizona State, so I do know something about the Cardinal fans. And you're right, Arizona sports fans are not great. But now I bounce all over, and I'm happy to land here in the Bay.
Let's go.
We do love Tucson out here. There's some people on the show that really love Tucson.
Will not be your
well, I didn't say that. I don't like Tucson. I didn't say that.
Not Tucson. Excuse me. Tempe. My bad. Got the wrong tees right.
Tempe.
Mill Avenue. That's great. Tucson's nothing to Tucson.
No, Tucson's fun.
Tucson ain't half fun.
Trust me, it goes off.
I went out there. I mean, it goes off. That's all they got to do out there. But Tempe, Mill Avenue, Scottsdale, Phoenix.
That's what we're talking about.
Matt Lively. Way to come strong today, baby.
I can't afford
Vert Glenn can never do what you just did, Matt Lively.
No, not true, not true. But yeah. I appreciate you guys having me on. Nah, it's been fun.
Anytime. Bird's a great guy. Great performance. Sports anchor for Channel 5, KPIX. He's been covering the Niners. He's been on a roll with the Vern. Vern sent me some stuff the other day. Vern's funny, man.
What did Vern say?
He was just sending me some stuff.